This is the Territory Story Podcast News Bites. Thanks to Opie Dennis Digital Marketing, your local digital marketing agency.
Hello there. Thanks for joining us. This is the Territory Story Podcast News Bites. I'm Peter Gowers. Hope you've had a great week thus far. I'd like to get the editor now from the NT Independent all the way from his lair, his cave, where it all comes from. It's Chris Walsh, the editor. Chris Walshy, how are you, mate?
Hey, I'm good, Pete. Good to be with you this week.
You too, my friend. And I know you thought I accused you of having done no work last week. It's not the case. It is. You've turned it around this week, deluxe.
Well, man, look, hey, I promised you something that was up there on the caliber of what we're known for, which is exposing corruption, as it were, alleged corruption and conflicts of interest, mismanagement. What we've been winning these awards for. And sure enough, we started off Monday morning with that. That's a scandal that's grown bigger and bigger.
I love it, mate. So what's all this about the shares that are causing these issues?
Pete, yeah, look, this was the thing that I was getting into researching last week and was able to get it up on Monday morning. And essentially what's gone on here is the Chief Minister Natasha Files currently holds an undisclosed number of shares in an oil and gas giant backing the proposed Middle Arm Industrial Precinct. Which, of course, raised concerns by critics that her private business interests could affect her government's policy decisions around gas development. As you can imagine, she's had a conflict of interest and a very glaring one at that. Look, there's not even any point saying it's a perceived conflict of interest. What we found out last week upon review of hard copies of the Register of Members' Interest forms is that Files had disclosed in July 2022, so just July last year, about 7 weeks after becoming chief minister, she did disclose that she had an undisclosed number of shares in Woodside Energy. Now, this was very unusual, and I saw that when I was down at Parliament House, and I thought, oh, well, there's an issue here. Because, look, I think we all knew that look, a lot of gas companies are involved in the Middle Arm precinct and what's being proposed there. Woodside most definitely has an interest in this carbon capture and storage unit that they're talking about. Now, the thing about that is, Pete, that's like the linchpin of the whole Middle Arm precinct coming together, is that they need this carbon capture thing. So went back and found some old government press releases that actually quoted Vice President of Woodside saying, yeah, we're really into this. We're part of this feasibility study being done by CSIRO and all these other, it was Impex and Santos and Woodside and a couple others, because they all want to see, okay, well, how can we make money off of this? Can we get this carbon capture and storage up there? Now you go back and you're thinking, okay, but what's Files been doing since she became chief minister, right? I mean, her focus has been on turning the government. The focus has been on oil and gas development. Look at the Beulah Basin, but Middle Arm more so than anything else. She's been spruiking all around the country. I mean, taxpayers, we paid for her to go down to Canberra and deliver those lines. Teals and trolls can try and say what they want, but the territory's not for turning. She's evoking Thatcher in there. And, we talked about all that before, but to know that she's going around spruiking this thing across the country with taxpayer funds, and lo and behold, she stands to benefit from it financially. That's a problem. That's a very big problem. And so we caught up with Kirsty Howie at the executive director of the Environment Center NT. I think, you know, what she said was quite compelling, that that alarm bells should be going off, essentially, is what she said, when you see these kind of connections. And, she got to the point where she was saying that anyone who worried about the influence of the fossil fuel industry on governments in Australia should be really concerned by this. The suggestion that the chief minister could have a personal interest in a company associated with the scandal plague Middle Arm Gas and Petrochemical Hub requires the highest level of scrutiny. She called on Files to disclose those shares, how many she had, as well as disclosing her involvement in any decisions that involve Woodside, including relating to the carbon capture and storage facility at Middle Arm. This line, Pete, I think she summed up here, and I think a lot of people, here it is. For years, it's been hard to tell where the gas industry ends and the Northern Territory government begins, she said. Middle Arm is already the poster child for state capture by the fossil fuel industry in Australia. I think that everybody has been feeling that that, you know, when they did this shares stuff, I was looking in with Woodside, they had said something like, oh, we've done this merger with BHP and we're going to be big enough now to give our shareholders great dividends while also providing enough energy for the great global energy transition. And, you know, those are words that the Files was using to spruik Middle Arm. I mean, they've been using industry talking points and stuff. And so they are captured when she says that they've been captured completely by the fossil fuel industry, our government. You know, mix into that Dragomin stuff that the Guardian had a couple of months back on how they lobbied, how they brought in consultants and lobbyists to get $1.5 million of federal money. Anyway, look, we're still sifting through all this. I'll tell you, this thing exploded across the country, this story. You've got memes going on. You've got a lot of different national organizations. I called down to Canberra Monday morning. Everybody I introduced myself to with independents and Greens people and other political people, they said, oh, right, you're the guy who just said that story on Files and the share stuff. I said, yes, yeah, so I'm looking for comment. We need somebody from outside the NT. And so David Pocock stepped up to the plate, the independent senator from the ACT. And look, he said, essentially, and we'll get into all this stuff on the weekend, but he said, this needs to be investigated by the Senate inquiry into Middle Arm, is her shareholdings and her dealings, because the look of this is just so bad and so stupid in so many ways. And, you know, and then there was an integrity expert who came out too from a national integrity body saying that she needs to divest her shares immediately or recuse herself from any cabinet discussions. Now, Files has been asked about it. And like I said, we'll get into it more on the weekend, but she's made nonsense comments, and she got into a bit of a blue with Joe Laverty the other morning, which was unbelievable, where at one point, you know, Joe Laverty said, just explain to us how you handle the conflict of interest. Just explain how you manage that. Give us one way you manage that. And she kept talking around it. And Joe said, and then she said, you're not letting me finish. And Joe said, well, you're just saying broad stuff here. I'm asking you a very direct question. And then at one point, Files said, Joe Laverty called it a conflict of interest register, which for all intents and purposes, the members of register is that. And Files got really indignant and said, that's not what it's called. I suggest you go away and educate yourself on parliamentary process. I mean, whoa, wow. It was explosive.
Imagine having a swimming teacher talking to you down like that, Chris.
Whoa. Yeah. So, you know, Joe handled that well. And but look, she just today now it's come out. She's saying that she's disclosed how many shares. We don't think that's accurate exactly. And here's the biggest problem for her. She did not disclose that on the Register of Members' Interests, which she was obligated to do legally. There was no disclosure of shares until 2020. That was BHP. And then in 2022, the Woodside shares came up. But we didn't know how much. And there's still kind of questions around that. She's claiming now her grandmother gave them to her in 1985. I mean, it's bizarre, but it's all
Shane Warne's excuse, isn't it? His mom gave it to him.
Exactly. Yeah, Woody was just saying that. It's all a distraction to get away from the fact that she's got this conflict of interest that she still continues not to address properly. And so, here we are. We're still sifting through it all. But this is a big, big scandal, probably the biggest scandal that Files has found herself in.
Yep. And Chris, that word comes up again, perception. We'll deal with that more on the weekend edition.
For sure.
Meanwhile, Chris, independent MLA for the Alice Springs region, Araluen, Robin Lamley's come out with some pretty strong words to the government, suggesting their plans for the summer season, where there's generally a spike in crime, I guess, due to the extra weather, labeling their plan as nothing short of madness.
That's it, Pete. The summer of madness is upon us. Now, it's, look, this was a plan that they talked about for months that they were going to bring in because they knew that, you know, crime typically gets out of control down in Alice in the summer months there. And, here's how we're going to deal with it. And we've been working on this for months. They came out with a bunch of already tired measures that they've previously pledged anyway, and that most people thought had already been enacted and were happening. Turns out the only big thing, I guess, that they said is that they've brought in 50 additional police officers that they'll have. But there was no explanation for that. Like, where are they coming from exactly? Because we know that that everybody's overworked here and understaffed in the police anyway. The answers aren't there. We're going to have more on that. It was Sparky. What are we calling him? Sparky? Brent Potter. He issued a press release on Tuesday outlining the government's summer plan for a safer Alice Springs, in which he claimed it would be a, quote, zero tolerance summer for antisocial behavior.
Oh, nice. That's great. Wow. Crime will be sorted then.
Yeah, and I guess they just didn't have that zero tolerance approach until the summer season kicks off.
Yeah, during winter, more of a 100% approach.
there were other things. They wanted to take kids and go ice skating, have an ice skating facility there. Seriously, I can't make this up.
Yeah.
But no real details of anything that would actually work. There were youth movie nights, sports at the Y, 10-pin Poland for the kids, and the ice skating. But there were a lot of people like Robin Lamley saying, look, this doesn't go far enough. We've got serious problems. This is just old, tired ideas. Same thing. Look, it is, I know what you did last summer, and we're doing the exact same thing this summer. I know what you did the summer before last, even. So,
well, it won't affect them because, of course, with the new interpretation on travel, the ministers will all be off with their credit cards down south.
That's right. And the people left will be people like Robin Lamley and, of course, Darren Clark, who we know as Action Man. He's also saying, look, there aren't new measures. He said, I'm nervous about what's going to happen because of the history of this time of year. But he said, look, they cleaned up the place over the past couple of nights because the chief minister and police minister were coming. So why not do that all the time?
Yeah, exactly.
And look, it's a perennial issue down there, but it doesn't look like the new minister's got any great new ideas on how to fix things there.
Maybe he's just getting across his new portfolio. Chris, lastly, for this episode of News Bites, good news, I'd suggest. The Gold Coast Suns set to play more home games in the Northern Territory for next year's season.
Yeah, and the considerable cost, I guess, to Territory taxpayers. Yeah. That's the downside of it. But yeah, look, I know footy fans look forward to that, and it's great. But that was kind of the thing. Now, Woody had a little look into this, and it turns out that they do actually, like other jurisdictions, regularly tell the public how much they're paying for this stuff. For instance, the Tasmanian government revealed it will pay Hawthorn nearly $1.7 million per game to play in Launceston from next year. But here, no, we can't give up what that is, what that figure is. And who is it? It's the Darwin Suns. I remember, they are not Darwin Suns. What is it? Gold Coast? Is that your team?
Gold Coast, yeah.
And remember, like Gunner's guy was his media guy or something was involved in that. And then they had this thing. Anyway, it's a deal on it will be Gold Coast and Melbourne. They'll play three AFL games a year in the territory. But again, the government said wouldn't say how much. There'll be some games down in Alice as well. Parramatta. Staying Parramatta in NRL. Parramatta will be playing the Dolphins in Darwin in April of next year. And what is this with the club? Also, Gold Coast to play two games a year in Darwin over the next 3 years, with the club playing both Geelong and North Melbourne in May next year. Melbourne will also play one game a year in Alice Springs for 3 years, with the team to play Fremantle in June next year. So, the AFL published an article on its website explaining that the Tasmanian government will pay Hawthorn $13.5 million for three regular games and a preseason game over the next 2 years. But they didn't say that about what's going on here in Darwin in the NT. What this is going to be. But even the previous CLP Giles government announced what they were paying, that they were paying $1.6 million each year for a two-year deal for a game in Darwin and a game in Alice Springs back in 2016. So, the Giles CLP government's being more transparent than Labor on this one.
That's a turn-up. Hey, any word on whether any of the stadiums that they use will be certified?
That is a great question. I'm going to go find out for you, Pete. I'll make some calls and I'll let you know. But thanks. I'm guessing not. But we'll see.
All right, Chris. Well, I look forward to catching you on the weekend edition. We'll break down all that's been going on in the world of shares and
scandals,
petrochemical plants, and scandals, and the whole bit.
Sounds good, Pete. We'll see you then.
That was Chris Walsh from the NT Independent. He'll be back again on the weekend for Weekends with Walshy. You catch that around 7 a.m. Saturday morning. And we'll catch you again next week on the Territory Story Podcast News Bites.
That was the Territory Story News Bites for this week. Thanks to Opie Dennis Digital Marketing, your local digital marketing agency.